Hello, fellow humans. Welcome to Uncharted Living. We are your hosts, Christine, Rebecca, and Ty. We are business owners, corporate leaders, and life coaches. Join us each week for authentic, thought-provoking, and entertaining conversations. We'll discuss a variety of topics, from personal wellness and professional growth to creativity and spirituality, all designed to help you create your own map for your life. We are excited to partner with you on your uncharted journey. Uncharted living, it's just the beginning. Don't be afraid to get life started. Jump off the map and live uncharted.
Hello, fellow humans, and welcome back to Uncharted Living. Today's topic is intuition. And honestly, when I started prepping for this topic, all I saw was big, white, empty space, which is not exactly what you want when you have an upcoming podcast to prep for. So I did my nerdy thing and I consulted the Oxford Dictionary. And here's the definition for intuition: the ability to understand something immediately without the need for conscious reasoning. So with that definition and my two good friends, we are going to talk about intuition. What the heck is it and what it is not? Becca?
Hi, everybody. Talking about intuition, what it is not, one of the first questions that came up for us was instinct versus intuition. And how do you tell those two things apart? What we have come up with here, and for everybody at home, a good way to think about the distinction between the two of these things is instinct is something that is survival, right? So it's the fight or flight response. It's the baby crying instinctually when it's hungry. It's wanting to stay connected to the community. That's a very basic need. We see instinct in nature. We see it all over the place, right? So thinking of it in those terms, in that framework, was helpful. Intuition is actually something that you can develop. It's something that connects us. It's something that is maybe a little more personal than instinct, and can sometimes have a spiritual component to it as well. So instinct is that feeling within yourself that, you know, you're wanting to move forward with a decision or maybe not wanting to move forward with a decision. Something feels like it doesn't make sense on paper. I still want to do it anyway. Where is that coming from? So what we're going to do today is kind of look a little more closely at that piece of ourselves and how we can either develop that or pay closer attention to it by bringing our awareness to it. In a way, to be able to help us to use it as a tool on a daily basis. So
yeah, you're talking about instinct now, right?
Does that difference make sense to both of you, instinct and intuition?
To me, and hi, everybody. I kind of look at intuition a little bit more from the spiritual aspect, coming from, Christian background. Intuition was very closely connected with like what was often referred to as like the still small voice or divine wisdom or a knowing within yourself. And I'm glad that Becca talked about the distinction between instinct and intuition, because I think that something that intuition is not, it's not your conscience, right? It's not Jiminy Cricket on your shoulder telling you to do what is the like right thing, just kind of as on a human level or a puppet level, whatever, like, you know, on we're not talking about things that are common sense. We're not talking about things that are socially responsible. We're not, right? Your intuition should not come into play in terms of whether or not to drink and drive. That's just like, you shouldn't do that. That's kind of like a socially responsible, common sense type of thing.
So can you guys give me an example of intuition in your lives? When have you acted on your intuition, either to positive or negative consequence?
Becca?
Yes. Okay. The thing that is coming up for me is when I decided to move to California. This was 10 years ago. I was living in downtown Chicago. I had a number of things I was looking at in terms of pursuing next. Was just this small, yeah, still small voice. Christine, I love that language around it because it does feel a little familiar. And it is true. And I experienced that. There was a little small voice that kept inching me a little closer to California. And I think at that point it was intuition leading me to Lindsay, who's now my wife, leading me to this next stage of personal growth. I can look back and see that now, but at the time I was really just following something that could have gone either way. And I remember my mom and I having a conversation where she was like, well, I hope this works out for you, honey, you know, thing. And so I think intuition can come into play when we are making large decisions like that, whether like relocating, whether it's a relationship, and it can also come in the small things. We've talked a little bit about tuning into our body compass, right? So being able to really pay attention and strengthen the ability to pick up on what information our body is giving us. I think intuition is very interwoven with that process of getting to know ourselves better. And also this, you know, inner knowing piece. To me, I don't know that we can remove intuition from that formula.
I love the California story, Becca, because mine actually also has California as its ending. I was in law school and I had gone to law school in DC to be closer with a person with whom I was in a relationship for several years. And we were planning to get married. I was lining up jobs in DC. I was, we all get it. You know, it was like that path and we were really happy. And so this is something that I want to kind of point out. Following your intuition does not mean following your happiness. It does mean following your freedom. So intuition does not necessarily mean what is going to make me happy in the short term. Intuition is more of like in the long term, this is where you will feel free.
Yes.
So this made no sense to anyone, least of all myself and the person that I was in a relationship with. But I just kept feeling like, this isn't right. But we're so happy, but this isn't right. And I just couldn't shake it.
So it was consistent.
It was consistent. And I kept trying to kind of override it. And I just couldn't shake it. And I ended up ending the relationship. And it was really devastating for both of us. I mean, our final time together was both of us just really crying like so badly and I couldn't really explain why, just like, this isn't right and you didn't do anything and I love you and all of that, but it was very traumatic. So following my intuition ended up, you know, in the short term, creating a very traumatic situation. And I'm not saying you should go seek out trauma, but I'm just saying the following that had a consequence in the short term that was real tough. And he ended up moving across the pond to Europe because he could not handle being in the same city anymore. He was like, everything here reminds me of you. I can't be here anymore. And then a friend called and I just didn't even know what to do. It's like I had pulled my own rug under, you know, from under me. But I felt free in that moment, even though everything was like kind of crumbling. And a friend of mine called me and said, do you want to move to California and date celebrities? And I was like, that sounds great. So I just was like, oh, how hard can the California bar be? Like, I'll just switch the bar I'm going to take. Because I did all this. I did all this like 2 weeks before graduation of law school. Right. So we just moved to California and it just felt right. It made no sense. It made no like sense from the outside. Like, what are you doing? You're going to take the hardest bar and you're going to move to California and you don't even have a job and you don't even know if you pass the bar because you don't get your results for like 6 months. And what are you doing? And I was like, I'm just here to date Josh Hartnett, is what I told everybody. So for you Gen Xers. But it ended up giving me a freedom and making me the person who I am today, ended up leading me to my husband. Right? So the life that I have would not have happened but for me following that. And again, it wasn't because of anything. I just couldn't shake it. And so I think for intuition, there's times when you're going to have to make a decision in a split second. And then other ones, you know, if it keeps coming back and keeps coming back and keeps coming back, you know, pay attention to it. There's something there, and you can't really out logic your way out of it. It'll just kind of keep coming back. But again, short term, it's not necessarily short term happiness. That may be short term terribleness, but it's long term freedom.
In my cognitive research about something that's not cognitive, of course, I came across an article in Fast Company, published in 2021 by Mark Crowley, and he identifies three types of intuition, and I'm super curious about these three types and what you guys think. One of them is implicit knowledge intuition, where that's what it sounds like for you, Christine, that you didn't really know, you weren't relying on expert knowledge, but you knew something wasn't right. Am I saying that right?
That's it. There was really no reason other than I just kept feeling this isn't the person long-term for me.
And I love this story because what you're explaining so beautifully is like living in an uncharted way, right? Like logic would have had you stay with this person who on paper made sense, but there was this piece of you that couldn't quite balance, if you want to use that as an analogy, like couldn't quite balance it out, right? There's still a piece of you that consistently was like, nope, there's something different. It's not better or worse, it's just different, and it's out there somewhere. It's in California, at least for now, right?
With Josh Hartnett, yes.
Yeah, right. Which obviously that worked out. So, I don't know. I mean, I think the reason intuition was an important topic for us is because these are the moments where it takes courage to go off the map and go live a little uncharted sometimes, right? And so these moments where if you can tap into your intuition and in that way, it can be really helpful in leading you to something that feels really amazing and really free in the end.
Yeah, and there's a certain amount of trust I feel that you have to have in yourself, in the universe, in your quietest places, that you have to be willing to listen to, even if like you guys said, it doesn't make sense on paper. It reminds me of a time when I decided to study abroad for a year during college and moved to Ireland. And I had never been to Europe in my life. And the Civil War had been over for just a year or two at that point in Northern Ireland. And I was going to the Republic. So people were a little bit nervous, people meaning my parents, about me going to a foreign country, knowing nobody that had just had decades of violence. And they were like, what are you going to do? Where are you going to live? And I was like, I don't know. It's going to be fine. Yeah. And they were so uncomfortable with the idea of their daughter. Now that I'm a parent, I can kind of understand it a little bit better. Going to a foreign country, never been before, at least, you know, it's not a different language, although for some people, it's very hard to understand different accents. You know, but they kept saying, you need to have a place to live. You need to have a plan. You need to have a plan. I'm like, I don't need to have a plan.
Yeah.
And everything worked out great. And so in this case, I think I want to make a play for make room in your life when intuition suggests some open space. I think we have a, tell me what, I mean, and our fellow humans, I feel like we are a little overscheduled, to put it lightly.
Well, I'm listening to all of my podcasts in like 1.25 speed right now. So I, yes. as much as possible.
Yeah. Yeah. Lord help if you're listening to this 1.2 speed, like good luck to you.
Well wishes.
What do you guys think about the idea of sometimes your intuition leads you to not to answers, but to being open to listening to what comes back, to not having answers? Is that a thing?
Totally. I mean, I think, and this is courtesy of Jay Shetty, who I actually went to go see in person last night, which is very cool. The guy who used to be a monk and now, yeah, it was very cool. And he was talking about, you know, we only really use one word for being alone. We use it in the form of loneliness and isolation, but really we should be open to the idea of solitude, because there's strength in solitude, and that is something that we need to really spend more time with in order to know ourselves better. But we've got to make the space and clear out the constant monkey mind that we all have. Because I think in our society now, and we're all guilty of it. I mean, it's very easy to fill in with more stuff, override, create more noise to just cover the intuition. So whether or not we're doing it on purpose or not, our mind is too full with other things. In fact, I would even dare say, you know, even if you're filling it with like, you know, cool Instagram healing mantras and, you know, self-help books, which are all great, but sometimes I think just sitting and podcasts, you know, sitting with your require clearing out a lot of the noise. And so I think we have to be, if you're not feeling, listener, that you are, you know, you don't even know where to find your intuition. You feel like you're just on autopilot all the time. Create some time, you know, even 5 minutes a day to just sit, and nothing has to be accomplished, but just get used to the strength in your solitude, and just give yourself some space. And I think what we wanted to talk about too is that intuition is different than anxiety, right? Anxiety is going to keep you spinning like a top a little bit. So when we talk about kind of a still small voice, it is a still small voice. It's not like a whole marching band with a million cymbals. Sometimes it's that's keeping you, you know, unsettled. It's more like nudging you. It's more like a knowing as opposed to your mind spinning. And if you actually are following intuition and listening to intuition, it's not going to wreck you. It may be uncomfortable, but anxiety serves more to wreck you. In following intuition is a different thing. That's there to protect you.
Yeah. You're saying anxiety is like disruptive and brings unease into your experience, whereas intuition, even though it might be a hard truth or a difficult truth, there's a sense of knowing there that is very deep, and it brings somewhat of a settling within you.
I need to ask Christine, how did you know in your story about breaking up with the guy and moving to California from DC, how did you know that that was your intuition talking and not your anxiety?
I wasn't anxious, actually.
And what do you mean by that?
It wasn't all the time, I guess. I think sometimes when I think about anxiety, it's like all the time and it makes you like really uncomfortable. This was just like, this is not right. This is not right. I wasn't overthinking it. I wasn't spinning out of control. I wasn't making a list of pros and cons. I actually didn't feel out of control. I felt in control. I just felt like I just couldn't kind of shake the feeling and the knowing that ultimately this is not right. And the only thing that gave me, I think, not so much anxiety, but that I was the unknown of like, oh my God, what do I do next? But then I just kind of like day by day, one step in front of the other. And this really helped me. I, you know, always kind of been a planner and thinking 20 steps ahead. This is where I just really had to trust myself, trust that, you know, for me, that God had me, and that I just prayed for like wisdom every day. So in just to get through each day, like just guide me to the next step. I don't need to know everything. I don't need to know 20 steps down the road. Just get me to the next one. Right. Or like when you swing on vines, like just get me to the next vine and then I can stop and then just get me to the next one. And so I feel like I pray for wisdom every day, but I feel like that wisdom is much more in my bones as intuition now, where I don't necessarily need to pray for specific things. You know, I feel like God's given me enough of an intuition that I can actually make a lot of decisions on my own, just trusting my intuition. If that makes sense.
It does make sense. And I'm looking at my list of the three types of intuition, and we just talked about implicit knowledge, but your vine is swinging to what this article refers to as non-local intuition. And they have a quote by Deepak Chopra that says that this kind of intuition allows us to eavesdrop on the mind of the universe. So that's what came up for me when you were talking about a spiritual aspect. And I don't think it has to be only praying and communing with God. It can be communing with the universe, nature. What else? Tell me what else, you guys.
I mean, I guess when I think of it, that's also what I think about, the universe, nature. It's like that piece of us that is connected to the oneness, right? The thing that connects us to the livingness in other things, other beings, right? It's like
not the oneness
thread.
Necessarily any one philosophy or religion. You're talking about the oneness that within you can, that you feel on a deep bone level connected to the earth and your community. Tell me where I'm wrong.
That's right. You're not wrong. That's right. To me, they're connected. I don't know how to tell them apart. Like my intuition feels tied to that piece of my experience with feeling connected to something that is larger than just myself in some way, shape, or form, the universe. It's not religion. For me, it has a spiritual component, but it doesn't have to. I mean, when you look at what energy is made up, like energy makes up all things. There's an energetic component of this. And so it makes sense that you would feel connected to certain things that have a similarly, you know, energetic vibration that's that may or may not be operating at a similar frequency.
Oh, wow.
Tell me where I'm wrong.
No, you're right, because at the very most cellular level, we are made out of atoms, and atoms by definition have electrons spinning around them.
Right.
And because I do a lot of seventh, eighth, ninth grade science.
Bless you.
This, yeah, and math and all the things. I was studying with a student of mine, and I just stopped dead in my tracks. There, one of the things that was on their study guide for the test that they were taking is every element in the universe is unstable and needs each other. Meaning, if you know anything about the shells of electrons that spin around a nucleus, there's a number for every shell that goes outwards concentrically.
Mm-hmm.
That there's a number that they want. They're missing one electron, or they're missing two, or they're missing three. And then they bond with other electrons that have those to give. So in the non-local intuition, in my nerdy interpretation of this, it goes completely spiritual, but then it goes, makes a full circle back to what's absolutely scientific.
Yeah,
totally. Yeah. It speaks to the law of polarity and the law of relativity. I'm studying these things right now where like literally nothing can exist alone. And so there are things, there is a connection. There's an actual scientific connection where you can, I mean, I don't know how to do it, but people much smarter than me can read frequencies and be able to designate, like, you know, exactly what you're talking about, like numerically, like with math. They can use math and science to be able to explain some of these things that to me just feel spiritual, but there's actually a science behind it.
So cool.
It's so cool.
It's so cool. Then the third kind of intuition based on this article, the book Blink, is expert knowledge intuition. And in the book, Malcolm Gladwell gives the example of a firefighter going into a kitchen fire, and he was a leader, and he said something just felt wrong, and then he had everybody leave, and 3 seconds after they cleared the building, the whole building burst into flames, blew up basically. It was already in flames because it actually wasn't a kitchen fire like they had thought. It was a fire in the basement. But the point is, it was his intuition based on his expertise of years and years and years of being a firefighter
that
he didn't think logically, what is the temperature? What is this? What is that? He just said, there is something real wrong with this situation. He didn't, you know, make a thesis statement and bullet point the answers. He just said, get out of here. And it saved all these guys' lives. So I'm also interested in that idea of when expert knowledge is different from implicit knowledge, meaning when do we rely on our instincts that have been honed over years and years and years? I guess that's making your instincts into your intuition to a certain degree. Your instincts have been informed by your experience and by your knowledge.
Yeah. And the wisdom that you've gained along the way, I think, yeah, just really becomes part of you, which is why I think for any of these kinds of intuitions and for our listeners, you want to, you know, not only learn how to access it, but build on it. And I think these three different kinds that you talked about, Ty, are all, you know, buildable. I think you first need to make space to be aware of it, and then you can continue to build on it. And I think I'd invite our listeners to think about a situation where, you know, maybe you thought you should make this decision and you went against it because of X, Y, and Z. There was peer pressure. It seemed there, mm-hmm. this society's expectations were totally different. You thought you would be alone, risk of isolation, you know, peer pressure, whatever reason, didn't make financial sense on paper. And you went with the, you know, the more charted way, if I may, but that you kind of, looking back, you're like, I knew I should have done it differently. And I'm not saying this to invite all of us to now think about every regret, but I think in some areas where we do have regrets, we can kind of go back to, did I really know what I was supposed to do? And did I override it and do something different because society expected me to, because it wasn't the popular thing to do? And really think about, you know, times when that's happened, and then just, and then try to access that feeling again in your, it's still there. Your knowing is still there. Your intuition is still there. I think it's just been, you know, like I said, tamped down, hidden, numbed, in a way. But I think we can all think about situations in which we probably knew all along what decision we should make, and I think with different consequences.
Totally, I love that you're bringing it into this firefighter experience, Ty, because I think it's so easy to isolate it just as a spiritual thing sometimes, or think about it as a spiritual thing, but to be able to incorporate it, and this is for all of our fellow humans that are listening too, to be able to incorporate that level of intuition into every endeavor that you take on, whether that's in the workplace or at home with parenting. My goodness, I'm not a parent, but what a beautiful, ripe environment to be able to practice your intuition, because nobody knows what the fuck they're doing. Right? I mean, to be able to trust that you were the one that was entrusted with this kid for some reason, here you are, or in your partnership or at work. It's how cool would it be to, if you were able to access this and really own it, and then how could, I don't know, I get excited about these things, but how can we use this to really make impact in the workplace, right? As we step out into the world every day with this, everything coming at us, how can we slow and listen to this piece of us that actually is the thing that connects us to our clients, to each other, to our friends, to our families, to my neighbor next door who, you know, I don't know. To people that we don't get along with, right? We're still connected to people who think and view the world differently than we do. So I don't know, man, the implications feel really practical.
Yeah, no, you do know, Becca, because I think one of the main things that I've heard us all say is slowing down, right? We have this hurry up culture. And when I'm with, if you know anyone under the age of 30, it's just they're interrupting you constantly. They're going to the next thing constantly. And it's almost cliche to say, slow down, where are you, be in the moment. But there, I don't know a better way to reconnect with that voice inside you than to shut up all the other voices that are coming at us from everywhere all the time.
Right. And
what are some tools that you guys have used yourselves to shut up all the other voices specifically?
Well, one Christine mentioned earlier, meditation. I think for me, that was a big hurdle. That was a big hurdle to get over. I started with an app called Headspace and watched their like 2-minute videos that had cartoons, and it was like a cartoon brain hopping around. And it really helped me because it helped me visualize what my brain was doing, and that it wasn't that I was trying to totally silence my brain, but that I was separating the thoughts that, you know, had been so ingrained and the outside coming in. And it just gave me, it strengthened my internal witness very, very slowly. So for me, that has been like number one tool to be able to slow down and listen.
And how exactly do you do that? Do you still use that app, or what do you do these days, Becca?
I don't use that app anymore, but I would recommend anyone at home who isn't, who has a hurdle over with meditation to, there's two resources. First is that Headspace app is a really great place to start. But then also, I think it's Dan Harris has a book called 10% Happier. And he was someone who was like, very much like he was a news anchor. He had gone into different war zones in the Middle East and had been reporting, and was very like very professional in a very high stress situation. And he ended up having a couple panic attacks on air and was immediately like, was like, what's going on with me? Like, I can't, you know, he went to all these doctors, and anyways, meditation was the thing that ended up working for him. And so he talks a lot about that and how it can be really a superpower. I don't know. Anyway, I know there are a lot of hurdles to it. Start there. Now what I do is I have a playlist on my phone that's just morning meditation that I've kind of collected from different places. So I just put that on shuffle and I set my timer, and I really just try to notice the thoughts that are coming in. I have a couple tools and exercises I use with my clients around meditation too, but for me, it's more how much time do I have? If I only have 5 minutes, I set my timer for 5 minutes and I just spend that time. And I really try to just separate myself from my thoughts by noticing them. Just noticing them and without judgment, allowing them to float by me. That's it.
I mean, the 10% Happier also is the app that I use. I've gone to the Headspace app.
Oh, but you use his app. Okay.
Yeah, cool. I use his app, and it's great because you can, there's different ones for different things. But ultimately, if the idea of meditation seems a little bit too inaccessible, just sit outside for 5 minutes without your AirPods and just look at nature or look at the sky or just close your eyes. And it's fine if you're going to have swirling thoughts, but the more you take some of that solitude and find your strength in solitude, I think the right thoughts I don't want to say the right thoughts, but you'll notice which thoughts are coming to you. If you're very fidgety and you kind of need to move, there's lots of moving meditations that you can actually, I mean, I know I just said don't have your AirPods in, but if you feel like you want to take a walk for 10 minutes, there are moving meditations that you can do that where you're moving, where you're walking or when you're driving. So for our listeners who like definitely do not want to sit still, and that's fine, go for a walk. And if you feel like you need a guide, you can, you know, put on a meditation or just walk and just notice what's around you. And eventually you'll more notice and pay attention to the things around you than the thoughts that are swirling in your head. And they're all going to come. There's no like wrong way to do this. It's just setting time for yourself, you know, disconnecting from a lot of the things that are coming, you know, coming at you, whether it's kids asking for something or the news or your, you know, your phone giving you another alarm or whatever. It's just start with 5 minutes, mm-hmm. and even take a, you know, when you're in the shower, just think about the fact that you're taking a shower. Don't think about anything else. Don't think about the meeting 10 minutes from now or what you're going to have to make for dinner or, you know, climate change. Like, just give yourself a break for a hot minute and think about, I'm just taking a shower. This is the water that I'm listening to. This is what the water looks like. This is what my cool soap looks like. And for 5 minutes, just being more present will help, you know, not only with intuition, but a sense of calmness, calm your nervous system. It's all very connected in terms of how we're showing up for people and ourselves, if we're giving ourselves the time to kind of recharge. But I think that helps to, you know, clear things out and just be kind to yourself. The thoughts are going to come. Even the best meditators are going to have swirling thoughts. I wanted to, if we have a few more minutes, to talk about how to help our kids find their intuition. And, you know, especially in this time where there's a lot of distractions for them, I think that we don't just tell them, you know, trust your intuition on all things and it'll be fine, because the distractions mm-hmm. for kids these days and the peer pressure is so major. I think it's still important as parents or as, you know, adults in the community to still say, please don't do these things. These things have consequences. Kind of practice with them. I practice with my kids. Like, if you're at a party and someone offers you drugs, what are you going to say? And just have that be a practice. And they're going to say, no, thanks, I'm good. Right? They're not going to be weird. They're not going to call the police, but they're going to just be like, no, thanks, I'm good. And give them tools so that those kinds of things become less about peer pressure and become their own knowing. So it'll be faster for them to make the right decision. So again, it's a little bit of a difference when we're talking about intuition versus like just doing, you know, smart things and making good decisions. I think for kids, you know, kind of practicing and getting them very much aware of how to respond in situations is a good thing. And then they can trust themselves because they've practiced. Ty, what do you think as having teenagers?
I like what you're saying, and I would very much encourage parents or mentors or guardians to not start with that script, to start with a non-judgmental inquiry-based conversation with the kid about whatever it is you want to talk about is fine, but also be open to what they want to talk about. And they usually have way more interesting things to say than we think they do when they feel comfortable, when they feel heard. So I think that I love the idea that a kid has a script to fall back on, but without their buy-in, it's you slamming words in their mouth when they didn't have it. Yeah. So I think the conversation and the continuing conversation of listening to your child and helping them make decisions for themselves is the thing that opens the door to having them go out into the world and then really believing that script. Because if they don't, if it's just their mom or dad or aunt's, you know, voice in their head, it's not going to be very sustainable, if that makes sense.
No, that's a great point. I mean, they need to be on the same page first and understand why this is happening but giving them the resources to, you know, be strong in a situation where they want to be, but it's harder.
What I love about what you're saying, what you're both saying, is you're also helping them clearly define their boundaries, which ties in from another episode, right? It's like you're helping them do both at the same time, which is really important. They're not separate. They have to be able to communicate their boundary, and they also have to know what their boundary is. And, you know, maybe their intuition is something that they learn to silence over time with all the stimulation, right? So when you're asking them these questions in those conversations, like, I'm really interested of like, what's going to pop up from them, yeah, you know?
So I think there's a certain piece of this for our listeners who are parents and our listeners who are, you know, teenagers and young adults, because I want to speak to you directly as well, is that there needs to be a non-judgmental conversation around all sorts of things. And there needs to be an understanding from an older generation, that's including me, that you don't really understand. You've been told that by your teenager that you don't understand them. And just know that you really don't, because the world that they live in does not look like anything like the world that you lived in at their age. It's like bananas to think that you can understand. So it's kind of the going back to the beginner's mind of, tell me more. What does that feel like to you? How do you feel in your body when you think these things? They're processing a bananas amount of information coming at them all the time. And so the more and to our friends and our partners, I mean, this doesn't only go with kids.
Yeah. Right.
Sometimes, I mean, really need to process out loud with somebody else who you feel safe with. This now sounds like a big commercial for Life Coach, but that's what we do. That's what we do in terms of, tell me more about your experience. You know, fill in the blank. You, my friend, you, my client, you, my child, you, my spouse, even my own parent, you're the expert of your life. Tell mm-hmm. me what's going on for you, how you distill this information. And then together in partnership, we can move forward. Because what I see professionally with so many of my students and parents is the parent always thinks that they're right. And there's no quicker way to get a knee-jerk response from your adolescent or young adult than being very convinced that you are right. So I think, you know, when we are trained as life coaches, we always have been told to follow the client and then to bring our own intuition, right? Our hunches based on what they're saying, but we have no agenda. And I think I'm like singing the gospel of life coaching, but I think if we could do that with our people, we'd live honestly in a much better world. What do you guys think? I'm interested in what our listeners think about this. Please add to the conversation on our Instagram page. It's just such an interesting deprogramming that I think is going on.
Yeah. Yes, I agree with everything that you're saying. I think for everyone listening, this is like one of the things that can feel so far when it is new, right? It can feel like, well, how the hell am I supposed to tap into my intuition when I've been living my life on this external information and data? And it is possible. I think that's like the biggest. What I love about what you're saying, Ty, is like this. The spaces that we are creating, we want to be able to allow people the space to understand that piece of themselves and also do it imperfectly. and do it in a way that works for them and in a way that feels safe for them and where there's no, you know, agenda of outcome. I genuinely think if we can all get back to that place of being able to connect with that piece of ourselves and lead a lot from our intuition when it's in alignment, I think that that is the path, the uncharted path towards being more in harmony in our society. And so for me, it feels really important to communicate that to everyone. It's like, don't, if you don't know where to start, you at least have us. We can point you in a direction, or we can get you set up with, you know, someone that is right for you. If coaching is that great, if therapy is that awesome, we all have referrals we can send to you. If you want to be part of our community, these are the things that we're going to be talking about. So, you know, meet us online.
And I would also offer for those, I want to give a shout out to people like myself who have failed miserably at meditation. I literally failed. I stayed for about a week into my month-long silent meditation retreat in Thailand and left. So even though I don't formally meditate, I want to give a plug to breathing. I can get behind breathing. and I don't, you know, if you can meditate, great. And if you can't, you're not a loser. I say that with lots of love and respect. Totally. And I mean, speaking from a neurodiverse point of view, as someone with ADHD, I like to label my thoughts. It creates a lot of distance. And so while I'm not particularly meditating, I don't think, at least I can now train myself a little bit more to say, oh, that's a little presumptuous. Oh, that's a little judgmental. Oh, I see that that's a little fatalistic. And then I really also like the breathing apps and breath work. And that's, I think, what the three of us are saying is start small, fellow humans. You have intuition. We will continue this conversation basically forever, our whole life. We are dedicated to this community and to learning from the collective. It's our deep commitment to all of you, and that's what keeps us going. And we do believe we can create a kinder world, one podcast at a time. So thanks for being with us today, and we'll see you next week on Uncharted Living. Bye.
Bye. See you soon.
Thank you so much for spending another week with us. Follow us at Uncharted Living Podcast on Instagram and TikTok. And don't forget to subscribe so you don't miss any episodes. And please like and share this episode with your favorite fellow human. Uncharted.